Amen. Let's go and take our Bibles tonight to Matthew chapter number 6. Matthew chapter number 6. Tonight, we're going to encourage you a little bit more about our devotional life and our walk with God. And I know about 30-some days ago, we gave that 40-day challenge. And I don't know how many of you are participating in it, how many of you have continued to do it all 40 days. And if you get done all 40 days and you'd like to continue in it, there is a material that I have that can help you with that. If you haven't done the 40 days, not interested in it, that's fine, but I have a material I can make available to you for free if you have done the 40 days. And this is a book that's something similar to that. It's a little bit different, but something that is a year worth of different entries if you like to kind of journal along. And so if you've been doing it and you continue on doing it and would like to know a little bit more about it, you can see me after on Sunday. I know that some people will be finishing up on Sunday, some will be finishing up maybe a few days later, depending on when you started it. But so the 40-day challenge. So tonight, I'd like to look at some principles to developing a dynamic devotional life. Principles for developing a dynamic devotional life. And some of these things might not be new to any of you. But I tell you, I know it is many times in our walks with God is that most people's walks aren't very dynamic. Most people aren't as close to God as they like to be. Most people have struggles with spending time, regular time in prayer and regular time in Bible study. And so tonight we're going to encourage you with some things that you know and some things that maybe you didn't know or some different thoughts that can help you. Our generation is relationship conscious. What does that mean? That means they know they're supposed to have relationships with different people, but they're not very good at their relationships. They're not relationship wise. You think about it, there is a legitimate hunger for people today to be close to somebody, to love someone, to be loved by someone, to be known and to know people. But some of the ways they try to do this is craziness. And I'm not saying everything in social media is bad, but there's a lot of bad things on social media, from social groups to looking in all the wrong places to develop deep, personal, fulfilling connections. They look all over the world to try to find someone they're close to, and they're willing to compromise and give of themselves when in all reality that they could actually have a not only just a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, but he can provide one of the greatest emotional and spiritual needs that we have. And we can deeply connect with Christ, and our relationship with him can be something that helps us overcome when other people struggle. Many people don't view their relationship with Jesus Christ as something that's close, something that they can grow in, something that they consider a true friend. Many times because we become so active in our lives, we miss some necessary things that are there, resources that are there to help fulfill a meaningful Christian life, a meaningful walk with God. So tonight when we look at these things, I'm going to try to compare to developing a physical relationship and how we can do that also with Christ. There's so many different ways we get to know him. Obviously, his word is one of those things. Corporate worship and the idea of you coming together, not forsaking the assembly of believers. These are all things that are important that God has given us. But there is no replacement to spending close, intimate, devotional time with God. In those moments is when we learn who God is, what God is. God is love, but not only that, he teaches us how to love others. We learn that he forgives us, but he also teaches us how to forgive others. When we spend time in his word, one-on-one with God, it doesn't become tiresome. You're looking and learning and growing, just like if you were talking to a close personal friend. Do we all have that? No. Do some of us struggle with that when it comes to our Bible reading and our prayer time? Yes. So these are some things that I think can help you make your prayer life, your devotional life more dynamic. It can help us cultivate the relationship we have with Jesus Christ. And so there's five different things here that we're going to go through, things that can help develop a dynamic Christian devotional life or your walk with God or develop or cultivate your relationship with God. First thing I want you to think about is this word solitude. Solitude. Getting alone with God. Most of us are all very busy. Actually, we're all very busy. Some people are just busy doing things that are not worthwhile. But most of us are busy doing things that are worthwhile, and a quiet time in a quiet place seems nearly impossible. But once you begin and can understand and get a taste of what it means to be alone with the Lord and have him speak to you as you're speaking to him, it's something that you will desire and crave. As my wife has sang earlier, I didn't pick that song for the message tonight, but if I could have picked this song, that would be one of the ones I would choose. It's amazing to think that God will want to spend time with us and to have fellowship with us, and there is a spot of solitude here. Look what it says in Matthew chapter 6. Jesus is actually getting ready to give the model prayer here, but before he does that, he says some verses here that helps us teach us how to pray. Go to verse number 5. It says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the street, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." Now you say, well, how come we pray? It's because there is corporate prayer in the Bible. What these hypocrites would do, they would pray to be seen of men. When you hear me lead in prayer, that's not my desire at all. It's not to be seen of men or heard of men. But instead, I'm praying to God and encouraging and leading you in prayer at the same time. When I'm up here praying, you pray silently, or you can be praying right along and agreeing with God. You know, when I'm praying for Dan Burgess, you silently be saying, "Lord, help him." And that's numbers of people working together and praying together as a group there. But here, they're talking about people who pray for the wrong reasons. And then you go to verse number 6. He said, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet." That's where you get the word prayer closet. It's the idea that you get away from everyone else. "And when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." There's a solitude here that they're saying. There's something that we get off and we get alone and we spend time with them, and there's something special about that. If you really truly want to develop something that's dynamic, it's probably not going to happen when you're around a bunch of noise. Probably doesn't mean something you're going to have to turn certain electronics off and get to a spot where you can feel free to just talk to the Lord and allow him to speak to you, and you get to a spot that you're not going to look weird or unique just because maybe you're singing to him or just because you're there. And sometimes that means I got to get up before everybody else, or I got to have a certain spot. Sometimes you got to go up out of the house. Sometimes for me, when I'm trying to study or do different things, I try to go to my back study. If that doesn't work, I'll go to another room in the building. If that doesn't work, I'll go to a whole other location. And usually isn't that difficult, but there is a solitude that's necessary. He said, well, where do you see that? But you think about it, Jesus, what was he famous for? He was famous for getting away into a quiet place and praying. Luke chapter number 5 puts it this way, "But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities." That's chapter 5, verse 15. You know, great multitudes were coming to him. You think the greatest thing that Jesus could do right now is to heal them and to teach them and to preach to them. But it says in verse number 6, "And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed." It's saying that there was so many opportunities. I mean, there is so much that could be done. But what he does, he takes care of them. He's there, he helps them. But he understood there was an importance to withdraw himself, and he goes out into the wilderness. And he goes out into the wilderness to be by himself, to where no one else is going to be there, so he can be praying. He can be spending time alone with God. And if Jesus himself did that, don't you think it'd be good for us to do it? I mean, you think about it, the dynamic part of one of our devotional lives is to get to a spot that is quiet and a spot that is by yourself. And one of the best ways to develop a relationship with individuals is to spend time with them one-on-one. I don't know about you, but I know lots of times I watch, it's neat to see how sometimes young people, as they get older and they start wanting to date, and once again, it should be in a whole different time, and they should wait till they're old enough and things like that, and things should be done right with the parents' help and things like that. But one of the best ways they get to develop and know somebody is to be able to spend time with them one-on-one. And once again, you know, when they're dating, I know there's, you know, privacy is not something that you really want to let a teenage girl and teenage boy to just be private in a room together. Obviously, that's not the case. But at the same time, there's the only way you're going to get to know someone as you get older and you think about marrying them is to spend time and learn who they are one-on-one in a quiet type atmosphere. Do you want something that's really going to help you in your devotion life? Something that's going to make it more dynamic, something that's going to make it helpful? I know when we talk about these 40 days, you say, "Pastor, I tried it, but it got tough, it got hard, I ran out of time." If you had a spot that you went to every day, you know, no one else is going to distract you, no one else is going to bother you, it would be a help. It would make it more dynamic. It gives you a more of an opportunity to spend time alone with him. It gives you more of an opportunity to be alone with God. And some people say, I go out to my shop. Some people say, I go to my basement. Some people say, I go outside. Whatever it is, finding a spot that is quiet and free from distraction. Don't let anybody, because you know what? If you can be distracted, the devil's going to distract you. If you can be distracted, you're going to be distracted. Second thing, not only is it solitude, but also the word meditation. Meditation. Go ahead and take your Bible to Psalms chapter 33. Psalms chapter 33. Now, meditation, the word meditation means to dwell in something in thought, to contemplate, to study, to turn, or revolve any subject in your mind. Let me say that again. Meditation, or to meditate, means to dwell in something in thought, to contemplate, to study, to turn, or revolve any subject in mind. Now, one of the things that you'll see in this 40 days challenge is that there was a spot there for a verse to memorize to meditate on that day. Because I tell you, it's not about rushing through your devotion time. It's not about getting three chapters done so you can read your Bible at the end of the year, check it off the list, and say, hey, I'm all done. That is not going to develop a dynamic prayer life. That's not going to develop a dynamic devotional life. It will develop a consistent devotional life, but it's not something you're going to learn as much from as you can. So when I look at it, and something that helps me is to understand this, is when I'm meditating on something, I get a certain verse that I grab a hold of. I try to learn what those words mean. And then throughout the day, I will try to remember those days. Say, why'd you pick Psalms 33? Well, I tried to do a psalm a day. So I did 31 psalms. And then I keep on adding to it. So on the second day after the 31 psalms, we've been back on August 2nd, I looked at this verse. It would have been, rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Now, to you, it's like, well, what's that big verse? It's something that's different. You know, it's different verses you can learn. And it began to see what, you know, we learn what the word rejoice is. Okay, what am I supposed to rejoice in? What am I supposed to have joy in? So it's a joy in the Lord. And then who is supposed to do that? Righteous. Do I want to be righteous? I do want to be righteous. I want to do what's right. So I take that and began thinking, and then that phrase at the end, for praise is comely for the upright. Now, I thought I knew what the word comely meant, but I wanted to make sure, so I looked it up in my dictionary. It means suitable, it means proper, it means becoming. So if I want to be coming of a righteous person, if I want to be a becoming or comely or suitable or proper for an upright person, I'm going to learn how to praise God. So throughout that day, I took with me, and I don't remember if it was August 2nd or specifically what day it was, I took that verse with me, and I said, you know what? It's right here. It's suitable now for me to praise God. It is something that it is becoming of a just person to praise the Lord. I should have joy in the Lord, and I should have rejoice in him. And if I'm going to be a righteous person, it's suitable for me to do that. So I took that with me. And I took that throughout the day, and I thought about that. And when I thought about that, I had joy and victory in my Christian life. When I began thinking about other things that were really irrelevant or things that were not appropriate, I would not have as much joy or victory in my Christian life. Psalms 1:2 puts it this way. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. So I don't think you can be in your Bible like this walking around day and night. I mean, that's obvious. You got to drive. You got to work. But there is something they can't take away from you. If you put the word of God in your heart and you put the word of God in your mind and you think about these things, and once again, we're trying not to develop what would be considered a nominal Christian life or a nominal devotional life. We're trying to make something that's dynamic to the point that we want to continue on, and not just because we have to, but because we enjoy it and we love it and we look forward to that day when we spend time alone with God, and we're not going to replace it because it becomes our favorite part of the day. It becomes something that we're amazed by. It becomes something like, man, I spent time with God and it's been too long. I got to leave, but I wish I could spend longer. But how many people really have that? There are some. It's some people that have taken the time to meditate. Look at David. David is one of those guys. Go to Psalms chapter 63. Psalm 63. Now, I like the Psalms. A couple years ago, we preached about it on Sunday morning, I believe, and it has the word meditate in it. But I'd like to read at least a portion of it. And I want you to think about what David is saying here. He's thirsting after God's service in the sanctuary. It says, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee, in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Now, who does that? I mean, who has that much thirst for God? And it's not talking about David in stress here. He's just, I mean, who is like, man, I want to know more, like, more of God? Who's like Paul that says, hey, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection? David is saying, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I've seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. You think about this. He's longing for God in verse number one. He's longing to see God's power in verse number two. He's remembering the fact that God is better than life. And because of that, he is going to praise him. In verse number four, he's talking about how he wants to bless him while he lives. In verse number five, he's talking about how he's going to be satisfied with marrow and fatness. And my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. But look when that happens in verse number six. It says when. There's a time when that happens. I don't think it was like that all the time. I think that was like that for David more times than it is probably for us. But he says, when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. It's when I remember you, God. It's when I meditate on you. And then he goes to verse number seven, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. He's saying, because I remember you and because I meditate, because I remember how good, hasn't God been that good to all of us? I mean, I'm not saying this in the wrong way. I know David got to kill Goliath, and I know David had to go running from Saul for all those years, and we don't know exactly probably when David was being, but then when the psalm was written, but God has been this good to all of us. If we're saved and on our way to heaven, and we have the Holy Word of God, and we have the Holy Spirit of God, and the access of prayer, God's been that good to us also. So when he's saying, I can be satisfied, in verse number seven, because thou hast been my help, he's helped us. Therefore, in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul falleth hard after thee. My right hand upholdeth thee. But those seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for the foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory, but the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. I think it all keys around when. When I remember him, when I meditate on him, when I meditate on his word. Meditation is one of those things that is going to take your devotion life from being just routine, just scholastic, and making it something dynamic. Is when we take the word of God and apply it to our hearts, when we muse over it, and when we think about it. So we're thinking about how that's with our relationship with God and with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, how do we do that in our life today? And we say, well, you said you were going to compare it to physical. How do I meditate about a person? Well, the reality is if we spend time considering an individual and meditating on an individual, our relationships will become stronger. I don't know about you. I'm not talking about that teenage boy that's lovesick and all he can do is think about a girl. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when you learn to study the people that you're married to, when you learn to meditate the things that they like and they don't like and learn how to help them and lift them up. He said, where do you find that in the Bible? Well, you think about when it says in 1 Peter 3:7, it says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. They're saying that you should know your wife. And he says, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. And what the Bible says, according to knowledge, is saying there that we should have a thought process about our wife, not about bad things about her, but we should know her. We should be able to live with her because we have spent time with her. We know those things that are going to encourage her and those things that are going to build her up, those things that are going to, you know, and then we also know those things that are not going to encourage her and those things that are going to make her upset. We dwell according to knowledge. Why? It's because we meditated on it. We thought about it. We thought about these things. In our relationships, we deal, and I'm not talking about we compromise and give in to sin. No, I'm talking about understanding and knowing someone and having a relationship with them. So the first thing, if you really want to develop a dynamic walk with God, a dynamic devotional life, whatever you want to call those words, solitude's important. Meditation's important. Third thing here, examination. Go ahead and take your Bible to Psalms 139. Psalms 139. Now, this is key here, examination. Because many of us would say, there ain't nothing wrong with my devotion life. I've been doing it for many years, and I continue to do this. And I can praise the Lord for that. But Paul himself was saying that I may know him. Paul was saying I wanted to know him more. Paul, the one that's a Christian missionary that maybe did more than anybody else for the cause of Christ in that set number of years he was alive. Or you look at David, and what's David saying? David says, I'm a man after God's own heart. You know what? I've learned enough. I don't need no any. No, he's saying, my soul followeth hard after thee. He says, I'm thirsting after thee. He had been, as a child, someone who loved the Lord, and God looked at him and pointed his finger on him and says, there's a man that has the right heart. He's not saying, I'm satisfied. No, he is someone that is saying, hey, look, I need to examine myself in this relationship. I want more of God, and we need to prayerfully ask the Holy Spirit to reveal truth to us from the Word of God that will challenge us to change and grow. Psalms 119, 18 puts it this way. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold the wondrous things of thy law. Psalms 139, I know most of you know what the verse that I'm going for here is, verses 23 and 24. He says, David is speaking. Now, some of the theologians think that this is a time when he's hiding from Saul. He doesn't become bitter. He doesn't become blaming. What does he do? He asks God to search him. He says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. He says, look, I want you to understand this, and I want you to get this. David is saying, Lord, I want you to search me, O God, and know my heart. He wasn't going to God and saying, God, you don't understand me. God, you need to search me. You need to see how sincere I am. No, look what it says in verses 1 and 2 in the same passage. Verses 1 and 2, he says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Look what it says in verse number 2. Thou knowest my downsitting, my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. God knew my thought even before I ever thought it. Look what it says in verse number 4. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. So what David is saying here when he says to search me, he's saying, know my thoughts. He's saying, I want you to make my thoughts, to make known them. He says, I want you to tell me, Lord. I want you to reveal the truth about me to my own heart. What a life-changing experience when we let God reveal to us the truth that we don't even understand about ourselves. Now, most of us would say, I'm good, I'm fine. But if you went up to someone who was going to be honest to you and say, is there something you would change about me? Take the time to take us right down, because there's always something that we can learn and grow from. Yeah, you're a little harsh here. You're a little prideful. You're a little bit arrogant. Sometimes you got a bad attitude. Sometimes you don't listen. Sometimes, and the list could probably go on and on for most of us, but we probably think we're okay. But with the scripture and what David's saying here, if we want to make it dynamic, we have to get to a place that's quiet, and we have to begin to consider his word, and then we look at the verse and say, do I praise you like I should? Do I worship you like that verse talks about? Lord, reveal these things in my heart. Make it known unto me. You know my thoughts. You know my words before I even say them. Make known unto me those things that I refuse to see for myself. When we spend time with the Lord, his loving word and spirit can reveal to us our thoughts and the ways they differ from God. How many times I've read through a scripture sometimes and think, that's not the way I look at it. I would do it something differently. And so if you want a dynamic prayer life, it means we're reading with an open heart, quiet places, letting God's work do its spiritual work on us, like the rock or like the hammer or like the fire, getting rid of the bad stuff. So how do we take that for our relationships today? Physical relationships of today, How many of us want to work so much about changing the person we live with? Well, maybe sometimes what we need to do is change the person that we are. We have no control over the other person. Yeah, we can dictate what they do sometimes. We can guilt them, or we can, you know, but when we should ask God to examine us and our role in the relationships that we're at, what could we be doing better? Praying and asking God how to minister to the people that he has placed in our life. Examination. Next one, number four. We only got two more. The last two are a little shorter than the first three. Is communication. Communication. God wants us to talk to him. It's an amazing thought that people think they can have good marriages and don't talk to each other. That's not the way it's supposed to be. We should allow our devotion time, the solitude, to the meditation, to the examination, lead into a time of prayer. And that time of prayer should have confession. That time of prayer should have praise. That time of prayer should have thanksgiving. That time of prayer should be supplication. That time of prayer should be intercession. Sometimes in that time of prayer, we sing, we worship, we listen, all those different things. But we must learn to communicate to God. I've been there. More often than I like to admit, I read my verses, and that's it. I don't talk to them like I should. Sometimes hardly at all. That's not dynamic. That's book learning. You have a relationship that you should want to cultivate with the God of the universe. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Matthew 6:7, but when ye pray, use not vain repetitions. I like that phrase, when ye pray. Jesus was saying, I'm expecting you to pray. Use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. Mark 11:24, therefore I say unto you, what thing soever ye desire when ye pray. Matthew 26:41, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. How can we say that we're building relationships if we never communicate? Now, there are some people in the world that maybe it'd be best we don't talk to. Maybe it'd be best that we don't have conversations because we can't get along. Hopefully you're not married to that person. Hopefully you're not living with that person. If that's the case, then something's got to change. Now, I'm not talking about divorce. I'm talking about somebody getting their heart right and saying, I'm going to be the bigger person. But at the same time, how can we say we're right and we're fine, we're happy in a relationship if we don't communicate? Just not there. Fifth thing. And I don't know if this is really developing a dynamic prayer life or communication, but dedication's important. I don't know about you, those 40-day challenge, I bet you some of us didn't do it past 7 days. Oh, this is just stupid. This is just too hard. And once again, I said, as you felt led of the Lord to do it. I'm not God. But it's a way that we can openly, honestly look at ourselves and say, okay, I only spent 2 minutes today in praying to God. There's something wrong with that. Help me, Lord, with that. Remember, Paul says that I may know him. David said he thirsted after him. He hungered for him. 1 Chronicles 16:11 says, seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face continually. Number five is dedication. Dedication. To know and be known. To love and be loved. That's a relationship that people long for many times. But that's a relationship that's available with Jesus Christ. Marriage is hard sometimes. I don't know if you know that or not, and I don't want to scare away any of the young people. But it's work. You take two individuals, and you combine them into one. And sometimes it's difficult because people have differences of opinions. And there's a lot of work that's involved. The Bible gives a lot. It's the most wonderful blessing in my life, outside my salvation, is my wife and my marriage. I'm very thankful for her, thankful for my family. But it takes work sometimes. People that are married know that. It's a challenge, but we should be dedicated to it. When we come with our walk with God, it is something that we should be dedicated to. I want to grow. I know I want to do this. Lord, help me. And the Bible says some wonderful promises. I love them that love me. Those that seek me early shall find me. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. And, you know, there are so many things there that says, if you're dedicated, you're going to have that dynamic Christian walk. But we have to be dedicated to find that quiet place. Maybe you don't have a house big enough. Maybe you have to share a room with somebody. You can still have your quiet time. And then you got the meditation. And then you got the examination. And then you got the communication. But none of that's going to matter unless you're dedicated to do it day after day after day. Some days you might have more time than others, but it's something we should be dedicated to, be diligent. I don't remember the exact verse, but I think something like, the soul of the sluggard desireth, but hath nothing. They desire it, but they become sluggard about it, and they become lazy about it, and they keep on desiring and desiring and desiring, but they don't have what they could have. Now, I wouldn't dare call some of you lazy, because I see how hard you work, and you put me to shame how hard you work sometimes. But when it comes to our walk with God, I wonder how many of us have become sluggards about it. I say, Pastor, I don't get it. It's hard. You talk about it. You talk about God speaking to me. You talk about how the Bible is supposed to come alive. It's supposed to be a two-edged sword. I don't see that. Then get to that quiet spot, place of solitude. Go to that spot when you're not just reading the Word of God, you're meditating on the Word of God, examining yourself and communicating with Him. And I think God can change that. God desires to be close to you. God desires that fellowship. God has made it so we can have this. Jesus shed His blood so we can have a relationship, but so that way we can fellowship with Him. I wonder how many of us could do better. I would dare to venture to say most of us could do better. Most of us probably don't have that dynamic of a devotional life. But what concerns me is those that don't have any, and it doesn't bother them. Those that go through the routines and the rituals, and on the front it all looks good, you're missing what God desires for you, is a close personal relationship. There's been times when I've been closer and times when I haven't been closer. But I really long for those days when I get to speak to Him and spend time with Him and know He's real to me. Let me encourage you tonight. Ask God to help you. And maybe, like I said, these 40 days have helped you. Maybe these 40 days have been of a challenge. That's why I wanted to give those four or five things to you to help you understand. Try to find solitude. Try to remember to meditate. Do examination. And also communicate. Let God work in your heart, in your life, in your mind. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet. Heads bowed and eyes closed for a time of invitation.